Since 1982, every day, 365 days a year, the wonderful volunteers at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Ann Arbor have served a free hot breakfast for anyone in need. That is nearly 3 million meals since 1982. Why do they do it? How do they do it? I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Community Cares. Joining me is the director of the breakfast program at St. Andrew's, Sue Nishi. Sue, take us back to 1982. How did this start for your church?
Wow. So back at that time, there had been some changes in the economy and folks had been laid off, and there was just a real need, folks who were having a hard time financially. And some people at the church decided, well, look, you know, what can we do to help? And day to day, we could provide some breakfast food. So it started out slow. It wasn't every day at first. And there was a woman at the church named Svea Gray, who was a deacon here, who was instrumental in getting this program going. And they just decided, we're going to have breakfast for anybody that wants to walk in the door. And it started that way and has grown and stayed in place all these years. They have not missed one day in all of those years, not during COVID, not during ice storms, snowstorms, power outages. There's always somebody here putting breakfast on the table.
My understanding is anywhere up to 150 to 200 people a day will avail themselves of this free breakfast at St. Andrew's. Is that right?
Not right now. So what happened if we take ourselves back to spring of 2020, when COVID hit, there was some thought that, you know, what are we going to do? We have to shut this down. By the way, I keep saying we. I'm new to the program. I started here in September, but this is the history as I understand it. They did not miss a day. They took the program outside, served it outside. So during COVID, when that was happening, the numbers dropped down. It did used to be about 150 people a day. The numbers dropped down during COVID, and they continued to serve outside until December of last year when they brought the program back into the dining room. And since then, we have seen our numbers going up. And I think on average, we're serving about 90 people a day now. It's hard to count. We reopen the doors at 7:30 in the morning. Sometimes there's 40 or 45 people waiting to come in. But people come, sometimes they'll come in, they'll go back out, they'll come in, or they walk around and talk with one another. So it's hard to get a real accurate count. But I think we're right around 90 a day. And it's gotten busier since the beginning of November when the rotating shelters, the warming shelters opened. I think we're seeing some new faces in town, and there's a lot of people coming to eat.
Indeed. So give us an idea of what's on the menu.
Oh, well, this is fun. We've actually been expanding it. Traditionally, we would have oatmeal and grits and hard-boiled eggs, pastries, all sorts of pastries that we get donated from food gatherers and from Washtenaw Dairy, sometimes Panera, different places in town. And then we've always had orange juice. We've just started having grape juice and apple juice with that. And then we have a separate table with cold cereal, a couple different options for cold cereal. There's bread for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We have fresh bananas and oranges in the summer. We had fresh watermelon, fresh pineapple. We even had some fresh blueberries there for a while in July when they were available. And then we have a station with a toaster and peanut butter and cinnamon sugar to make peanut butter and cinnamon toast down there. We've recently got permission from the health department to expand our menu. So we've been adding meat on a regular basis. We've done pork sausage and turkey sausage. We've had spiral sliced hams in there. Quiche. We had a Christmas party this week. We served quiche with sausage links. We've started making pancakes, which is a lot of fun and really popular.
This is incredible. Every breakfast item you can imagine is being served at the breakfast at St. Andrew's, again, for individuals in need. Who are these individuals? Where do they come from? What are their stories, Sue?
Well, there's a range. And it's interesting you ask, because I have heard a lot of stories. I never ask people I walk around the dining room. I'm there almost every single day. And I walk around the dining room. And what I'll say to people is, I don't think I've met you. My name is Sue. And then I just leave it. And if they say what their name is, that's great. And if they don't share, that's fine. But a lot of people do share their stories. We have a number of people who are unsheltered right now or living in the rotating shelter system or staying at Delanus. We have a number of people who are sheltered and working and just not able to make ends meet. I believe we have some people who come on a regular basis for the friendship and the conversation. It's a whole host of people. We have a lot of regulars that I started volunteering in the program last February. I started working as the director in September. A lot of regulars that I've seen almost daily since I've been there, but every day there are new faces. And then from time to time, the regulars will not come for a while. And then you don't know, maybe things have gotten better for them financially, or maybe they've moved on. And then sometimes they circle back. It's a mix.
How important do you think a hot breakfast, a free breakfast in the morning is for them?
I think the combination of the food and the friendship, I think it's really, really important for people. One of the first things I noticed the very first day I volunteered, I worked at the coffee station. There are all the different stations serving the grits or the pastries or whatever. I worked at the coffee station and I was handing, this was last February, handing mugs of coffee to people into cold, ice cold hands. And I would look everybody in the eye and say, good morning, how are you today? And I was struck by how many people would look back at me and say, thank you for asking. And I realized, oh my gosh, for a lot of these people, nobody calls them by name. Nobody asks how they are. Maybe people avert their eyes when they walk past them outside because maybe they're going to ask me for something, or maybe there's going to be an encounter that's a little awkward and not sure what to do with it. And I have learned the names of most of the people that come in. And often when I've met a new person and they'll come back the next day and I'll say, oh, good morning, and call them by name. And someone will turn to me and say, you remembered my name, or you called me by name. And it means a lot. It really means a lot. And if you can go up to people and say, hey, how's your hip this morning? How's that doing? Or, last time you were here, you were talking about your granddaughter, and did you get to see her, and how was that? I think that is providing a sense of dignity and respect and conveying to people that they matter, no matter where they are or what's going on. And we've been working to have more volunteers in the dining room we always have people at stations who are serving specific food, but I'm working on having more volunteers whose task for the morning is just to circulate in the dining room, carry around the carafe of coffee, offer to top off people's coffee cup, and talk to them. Because I think it matters. I think that's as important as that physical food. I really do.
Sue Nishi, director of the breakfast program at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, which is located on North Division in downtown Ann Arbor, serving free breakfast for those in need. They've been doing this every single day. They have not missed a day since 1982. I know that you have a lot of community partners in this. You mentioned food gatherers, of course, and other businesses who have contributed. But this is a huge investment for St. Andrew's. Your church goes back to the 1800s here in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How are you able to do this every single day?
Do you mean financially, or do you mean the
all
people?
In all regards, the number of volunteers
all
you have, the funding for it as well?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Well, the first thing I will say is it is broader than the church itself. So it started small, and it started as only a ministry of St. Andrew's. It is still in many ways a ministry of St. Andrew's, but we have involved the greater community. So the breakfast program at St. Andrew's is a separate freestanding 501c3 nonprofit corporation. But we work out of the basement at St. Andrew's, and we're very much connected with this church, and as we always have been. But we have different organizations in the community that help. The volunteers that come here, many of them are parishioners that go to church here and have for years. Many of them do not. We have volunteers that come from Dexter and Brighton and other churches, and places like workplaces will contact us and say, we want to come in, we want to bring a team from Mott Hospital, or we want to bring a team from the dental school, or fraternities will come and bring groups. We have Green Hills School and Community High School will come in with groups of people. Anybody 14 and older can volunteer here. And we have a Sign Up Genius platform that we use, and there's a volunteer coordinator who reaches out to people and kind of gets the scheduling in order. But we have help from all over the community and financially as well. We get donations from individuals that may be associated with the church, maybe they're not. We have organizations that give grants, and it's really it's a community effort.
Remarkable people, one and all. Not only a hot breakfast, but also camaraderie, and you're providing other services as well for these individuals. You have a donation rack that you have set up. Tell us about that, Sue.
Yeah, that's been just wonderful. So we have warm clothing available in the dining room for people to just come and look through the rack. And if you can use it, take it. And if you don't need it, leave it there. parishioners donate clothing, volunteers donate clothing. We sort of put the word out, hey, just clean your closets, get those blue jeans out that don't fit. Let's admit they don't fit. Let's get them onto somebody else who can use them. And then I recently reached out to the Kiwanis Thrift Shop, and I now have an arrangement with them where every 2 to 3 weeks, they'll text me and say, we have another load, and I send volunteers to go pick it up. And we've gotten boots and shoes and coats, sweaters and sweatshirts and pants, warm clothing, socks. And the other thing I ask them for that they've been providing each time is small rolling suitcases, bags, and backpacks, because our unsheltered guests really struggle to have a way to carry their belongings. And if they can do it a little more hands-free with wheels, it's really very helpful. So that's been fantastic. We had a group of nurse anesthetists at Mott Hospital who reached out to me and said, we want to help your guests at holiday time. And we just hosted a Christmas party where we were able to hand out thermal underwear and warm turtlenecks and socks and scarves to our guests. And we try to just, because we're walking around and we're talking to them, we just kind of keep an ear open for what is it that somebody needs. And maybe somebody will say, I need a pair of boots in this size. And we'll just watch the donations that come in and try to help things get into the right hands. And I want to say too, one of the things that I have noticed that just touches me is I've watched people at the donation rack going through, and maybe one day there's a pair of socks and one person is holding the socks and somebody else is saying, oh, I need socks. I've seen people say, oh, you really need these socks, and hand them to somebody else. It's the kindness in that room. It's a beautiful thing to watch. I've had people come up to me and say, Sue, this is a person, and introduce her, or, you know, she's new in town. She needs a coat. Is there anything you can do to help? And then we work and figure out how we can make that happen.
Despite all of this, isn't it hard to watch them after they've had breakfast and leave and go back out into the cold, not knowing what their day is going to be like?
Yeah, it's hard. It makes me feel better right now to know at least that the shelters are open. They can sleep on the floor at Delana's. They open up the cafeteria there, as I understand it. You don't have to have a room right now, which is a hard thing to get. And then there's rotating shelter system through the churches where folks go and stay at a church for a week or two, and they get home cooked meals at night, and then they move on to the next one. That's happening right now. So that's nice to know. But I remember I started volunteering last February, and in April, those shelters close, and it's still cold. There's still frost on the roof in the morning when I'm driving to work, and people are sleeping outside, and it's heart-wrenching. And I just have to kind of remind myself that I'm helping who I can help in the way that I can help them at this time. And at least we can provide the food and the companionship and the dignity. It's really hard. It's really difficult to see. So we see folks, not rarely, who have mental health challenges that are not being properly treated and not being properly addressed. And that's hard to see too, because the resources are not there for folks to have those challenges.
Every little bit helps, and what you're doing is so beautiful at the breakfast program at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in downtown Ann Arbor. Sue Nishi, the director, as we talk about their free breakfast for all since 1982, really is remarkable. As a nonprofit organization, the Breakfast at St. Andrew's is the only program in the Ann Arbor community serving a meal without charge every day at the same time and place. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Community Cares.